The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Shasta County. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show. Thank you for being up early with me. And if you're listening at 96.5 FM or 1460 AM or online at KCNR1460.com, I appreciate you tuning in. And you can always listen later and download all my episodes where they're archived at VoteKevinCry.com. Wow. I love Shasta County, and I am so happy to be in studio today. There's sometimes where these two-week breaks feel like, a month, and other times they feel like an hour. And there's so much that's been happening. I can't wait to share as many things as I can packed into this hour. As a reminder, if you didn't know, I don't have any paid sponsors. I pay for this all myself. And I will highlight a business from time to time because those are people that sow into the community, and I just want to share. So I will do that. So I buckle up, because this is going to be an hour that is pedal to the metal, fast and furious, and above all else, unapologetic. I will be taking call-ins, but only one or two people, like max, per topic, because I have a lot to get through. I mean, a ton. And that number, if you want to call in, is 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. Weather this week is brought to you by Weather NorCal. Again, that's one of the businesses that does not pay me, but I get all my weather there. It's going to be 109 today. 109, that's freaking crazy. 108 tomorrow, and then slowly cooling down to the freezing temperature of about 92 by Friday. So I believe Tuesday is going to be our last day in the hundreds, and then it goes like 97, and then just slowly gets, sweatshirt weather by Friday at 92. So kids and educators and all school personnel are headed back to work this week. We just wrapped up our summer camp drive with California Adventure Camps, my personal companies. And, I heard someone say this summer that they were only a paraprofessional. When I said, hey, thanks, good luck in the classroom, educate those kids. And they said, oh, no, I'm just a paraprofessional. I said, that's crazy, because that's like, Todd Beamer saying, Todd Beamer, who was one of the heroes aboard Flight 93 during the 9/11 attacks, that's like Todd saying he was just a software salesman. I mean, I believe the Lord puts people in the best spot to make a difference in this world. And it's up to all of us to deliver in those moments, especially for kids. And I know my staff of roughly 100, 110 people did that all over the state. And regardless of your role, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for what you've done this summer for thousands and thousands and thousands of kids all over California. All to you, all to you educators and bus drivers, lunch ladies, and custodian, like every single role in schools. Just be excited, be there for the kids, because being a kid in today's world is harder than I believe it's probably ever been. So enough on that. So today's show, I'm going to hit on quite a few topics, and I'm going to try and give as much background and context as possible to each of the topics. I want to we're going to hit on some medical school stuff, which I have my medical town hall coming up September 16th. You can go to Vote Kevin Cry to get into the lottery of, because I believe we're going to have hundreds probably want to attend, and we have, I believe, seating for 100 or 125, somewhere in there. So register for that as soon as you can. And then we have the alternative custody program I'm going to speak on, and quite a few other things. So again, we're going to move pretty fast, but I'm going to give as much context as I can for all of my out-of-town or out-of-state listeners so they know what the heck I'm talking about. And plus, my wife's not here this week to like poke me or roll her eyes and say, hey, stay on topic. So with that, what I've really realized this week as well is, and I think many of you do as well, but what happens on a global or national stage actually happens right here in Shasta County much more than people would think. 95% of the people, they never know what's, going on. And I was one of them prior to COVID who never paid attention. You know, take for example this whole redistricting or gerrymandering topic in Texas and throughout the country. I mean, if you didn't know, on August 4th, Democrat lawmakers in Texas basically ran away from home to avoid voting against or for a redistricting bill in Texas, in the Texas House of Representatives. The lawmakers, scattered all across the country, including to California. And in response, arrest warrants have been issued in Texas, and Attorney General Ken Paxton is looking to enforce these warrants, including here in California. And it's incredible to watch our governor placate to these runaways and treat them as if they are heroic for leaving their constituents behind. I mean, can you imagine here in Shasta County if supervisors fled to Oregon or Nevada every time something came up that they didn't agree with? It's crazy. So it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out. Hopefully Texas sticks to its guns and, vacates their seats. Well, right here in Shasta County, we've had a redistricting issue in the past. After months of committee meetings and public input, the board went in a completely opposite, direction of every plan that was on the table. Now, again, this was back in, I believe it was 2021 or 2022, but this was during the campaign that ultimately led to the Supervisor Leonard Modi being recalled. And I remember it vividly because I was just starting to get involved as a candidate, and I believe three of the four other people running in that race were redistricted out. Tim Garman, Dale Ball, and I think it was Tony Hayward, or it might have been the pharmacist Tariq that was redistricted out. But going back and watching that video or that, remembering back into that period of time, how all of that went, it's like, wow, like we're seeing all these redistricting conversations and we've already got callers coming in. So, but going back into looking at those, into those meetings about how the redistricting went and why certain things went the way it did, it was really, really, interesting. So we have a caller, Patrick J. Patrick, are you there?
I'm here.
Patrick Jones, how you doing, sir?
Very good, Chairman. You brought up redistricting, and I was on the board at the time. You weren't quite there yet. So as everyone knows, every 10 years, if your population changes, Shasta County's population changed in this last census, only 3,000 people. So the assistant ROV, Joanna Francisco, headed up the redistricting and drawing up the maps. I was involved in those. I went to several of the meetings. And with only 3,000 new residents in Shasta County, it means the district lines only had to change a little bit. And they stress that into don't dislocate large groups of people. And in this case, we only had 3,000. And so Joanna presented to the board two maps. And both of the first two maps, A and B, were pretty good. They only needed minor tweaks. But then she came back with two more maps that were wildly different and two more after that were even worse. And then the final map, dislocated 40,000 people instead of 3,000. Happy Valley was moved completely out of the district that it was in. And worse of all, because Joanna and Kathy Allen were friends with Leonard Modi, they moved three of the four people to replace Leonard Modi in a recall that was pending. And so this went from 21 right into 2022, and it happened to be at the same time Leonard Modi was about ready to be recalled. Ultimately, he was, and three of the four people to replace him were moved out of the district, including Tim Garman, who afterwards spoke to me and said, we should sue Joanna for gerrymandering. I'm sure he has amnesia now, but that's a little background.
Well, no, I do remember that because in my very first week as supervisor-elect, he asked if I would be on board with, looking back at that. Because honestly, for Dale Ball, Dale Ball, who I know really, really well, and I'm getting a lot of texts. I'm going to tell people right now, if you're wanting, just call in. This is going to be my only caller on this topic. Sorry, but Supervisor or Patrick Jones beat you to it. So that's what I'm going to do on this one. But yeah, I thought it was really, really weird. And I was willing to look at it, but again, nothing ever came of that because it was never brought up to me again. So I don't know how that all played out. But Patrick, thank you for calling in and sharing. And again, anybody that wants to call in on all these topics, there's going to be a lot of topics, and there's going to be a lot of people, I'm sure, wanting to say their piece. So thank you for calling
all right,
in.
Thank and you, just, Chairman.
You bet. Thank you, sir. So going back, regardless, when you look at different things like that, and then you can pull away, like use the wide angle lens and really get the breadth of what's happening. You know, you could look back at that and say, okay, the stuff that's happening on a very national level happened here in Shasta County, and too often, and that's why I do the radio show. I don't do the radio show because, you know, I think my board reports, and coffees, like, there just is so much happening. More has to get out, because my goal is to make sure more people know of what's going on in their community. So when my time is long over, I can say, man, I left it better than I found it. And there's a lot more people paying attention and engaged, because that's what's important to me, is more people understanding, what their local leaders are doing, and then keeping them accountable. So, okay, we're going to move on to the next topic, because I want to discuss the recent decision by Shasta County Superior Court Judge Baker. And I want to be very upfront with everybody about my love, respect, and admiration for the Redding Rancheria, and quite honestly, tribal nations as a whole. When my opponents and I were all seeking endorsements from Redding Rancheria in 2022, I mean, I laid it out there pretty plainly when I went before the council. Like, every candidate goes before the council. It's like, you know, there's like 20 people in there. You're standing behind a podium, and you know, make your pitch, and they ask you some questions, and that's it. And, you know, I was very, looking back, I wouldn't do it any other way, but I was pretty naive in the way I approached it, because I said, hey, look, I'm going to support you guys regardless if you back me or not. Because during the housing crash in 2007, and I've been involved in youth sports forever. Well, back in 2007, 2008, 2009, you looked at almost every single jersey on a little league field, a soccer park, or, you know, a basketball or volleyball, whatever, on the back of many of those jerseys, it said Redding Rancheria or Wind River Market. They stepped up for kids in a big way when a lot of businesses, I mean, myself included, didn't have the money to sponsor one little league team opposed to a complete entire, you know, whole league, which they did. And then also during the car fire, I had a big event scheduled for their leadership as a leadership retreat. And a lot of the individuals from the tribe and the council members lost their houses during the car fire. So on a Monday, you know, this was the week before, on a Monday we're supposed to do this big, you know, team building leadership thing. And I just said, hey, what do you guys want to do? They said, look, we can't do it. We've got too much to handle. I said, well, I think I'm going to just stay open at the church and just keep bringing kids in. And they said, you know what, just put the money towards that and we'll figure it out later. And when I went back to them a month or 2 months later about a refund or whatever I needed to do, they said, hey, you know, we heard what you did with Redding Neighborhood Church, the Time Now Pathway. And they said, that's great. And that was phenomenal for me, because I got to help serve a ton of kids, like over 8,000 kids and families that were affected. And that was partially made possible by the tribe, as well as the leadership at Redding Neighborhood Church. So I wanted to share all that, because I think it's really important. People understand that I'm very pro-tribe, and it has nothing to do with politics. I mean, I will say this quickly, and it's a little anecdote, but if you've seen Shawshank Redemption, at the very end of the movie, Morgan Freeman's character, when he goes before the parole board, you know, says, quite frankly, Sonny, I don't give a damn. And he just, you know, basically flippantly says, I could care less what you guys think as the parole board. And he winds up getting parole. And that's exactly, looking back, how I felt. Like, I was going to support the tribe whether they supported me or not, because they are, and I'm embarrassed to say that I didn't fully grasp the sovereignty as a government of the Redding Rancheria or other tribes. And I can say that. I'm embarrassed that I knew they were a government. I knew they weren't just a casino or some philanthropic group. But if there's one group in our area that doesn't have to play nice, it's the tribe. They're a government. They're sovereign. But yet they do, and they do more than almost any other. And I would argue, you know, a point to anybody that says different. So that's just my opinion. So going back to this, so Judge Baker ruled that the contract Shasta County entered into with Redding Rancheria was an illegal contract. That was just here recently this past month, a few weeks. And his ruling says that we didn't notify, and I say we, meaning the board, and this is the Board of Supervisors in 2023, that we didn't notify or work with the department heads or electeds that were affected. And that's crazy on two fronts. One, we did. And two, we don't have to. And I'm going to unpack this because I want to give everyone some history and also some facts you probably didn't know. And, you know, so here we go. Well before COVID, the Board of Supervisors did not support the tribe's location. There was one supervisor who supported them but then flipped because of political pressure and backdoor deal making. And I won't go into that individual, but that happened. And the board at that time was Leonard Modi of District 2, Joe Comente of District 1, Mary Rickard of District 3, Steve Morgan of District 4, and Les Baugh in District 5. And in 2019, the tribe started negotiations with Shasta County at the time with Matt Pontus, who was the CEO, and County Council. Now, you say, okay, well, they didn't support the tribe, but why would they enter in negotiations? Well, negotiations because we provide police and fire, or sheriff, I'm sorry, sheriff, emergency services, police, fire, I'm sorry, not police, sheriff deputies and fire to their location now. And, we haven't received a dime, not a dime for that, never been paid. So understand this. We've been doing this for a long time. So we had to start entering in negotiations because if they wound up moving, like, we still have to provide that. Federal law states that we have to do that. So the Matt Pontus and county council started negotiations with the tribe. Well, and I'm not sure, and I wasn't there, but county council, whether it was Ruben Cruz, who was the county council at the time, or whoever in his office made that decision, or it was the board, or it was a supervisor, or it was the CEO, doesn't matter. But the truth is, a law firm was brought in to help negotiate that deal. That law firm was Perkins Coie. And if you don't know who Perkins Coie is, this is the same Perkins Coie that represents and works with Hillary Clinton. And if you don't know who Hillary Clinton is, that's the same person. If you remember, you know, she famously said, what difference does it make about her responsibility in the Benghazi killings of four Americans? She also, you know, who laundered hundreds of millions of dollars through the Clinton Foundation. I mean, that's the same Hillary Clinton. Can you believe here in Shasta County, that we were hiring outside counsel that worked with and represented Shasta County, who was also working with the Clintons? I mean, to me, that just blows my mind that that's the outside counsel that we hired to bring in to work to negotiate a deal with our local tribe, Redding Rancheria. And I don't know if you've met Jack Potter, Tracy Edwards, some of the leadership at the Redding Rancheria. I mean, can you imagine that deal can't just be done with people already there? Crazy to me. So anyway, that's the law firm that was brought in. Now, let's fast forward a little bit. The failed ex-sheriff, Eric Magrini, the same guy who got two votes of no confidence from the people he led, and for his efforts, he stepped down as sheriff and became the assistant CEO with a massive raise under Matt Pontus. And now, one of his duties was to work with the tribe. Now, I'm not sure when that was handed over to him because I wasn't there, but it was on his list of duties when I took office in January of 2023. And I had my very first meeting with then interim CEO Pat Minturn. Because remember, Matt Pontus resigned sometime in the fall of 2022. And Minturn was given the gig for 6 months and basically to the day. And that's a whole story for another day. But after the successful recall of Leonard Modi and Tim Garmon took office, the support for the tribe started to turn, or it increased. Because Patrick Jones was always pro-tribe. And Tim Garmon, well, I shouldn't say always pro-tribe. He's been pro-tribe as long as I've sat on the board of supervisors with him. And when I first met him in 2021, really didn't get to know him a little bit until 2022. But he was pro-tribe. And then you said, then now you have Tim Garmon and Patrick Jones, who are both very pro-tribe. And then there was a third supervisor that began to change his stance yet again on the tribe. And after Supervisor Kellstrom and I took office, it really changed. Because as I stated earlier, I've always been very pro-tribe. On a side note, the tribe endorsed Supervisor Kellstrom's opponent in the election of 2022. And they supported his opponent with signage and money. And I'll tell you, this is when I truly realized that Chris Kellstrom was a man about policy and principle and not about politics. Because he would have every reason to hold a grudge towards the tribe. And if you're listening, Chris, that doesn't mean I want to hug or I want to allow you to have your stupid size 18 cowboy boots kicking my chair during these meetings because your legs are so long, you Bigfoot. Anyway, so it was the late summer of 2023. I believe it was late summer, might have been early fall. And I caught wind that the tribe was essentially likely going to get their Bureau of Indian Affairs sign off or whatever they needed, the nod from the governor to be able to relocate their tribe. So at that point, we had zero leverage. And I wasn't negotiating with the tribe. I wasn't talking with the tribe at length about their deal. I mean, of course, I was aware that this was coming, but, you know, Supervisor Garmon, Tim Garmon at the time, was talking to them far more than I was. And I'm not sure if Tim brought it something to Patrick's attention, because, you know, Tim and I don't talk anymore. And, but, you know, I did tell Supervisor Rickert, or not Supervisor Rickert, I'm sorry, definitely not Supervisor Rickert. I did tell CEO Rickert that, hey, we needed something on the agenda really, really soon because, you know, we'd received $0 to this point. And I also realized, again, like I mentioned earlier, federal law says that we have to provide law enforcement services to them. So I was a little leery of like, hey, they could just say, hey, you got to provide it by federal law. So you're going to do it and we're going to get nothing yet again. And I believe it was October. I think it was October of 2023 that we voted 4-1 to enter into an agreement for services, with the tribe. Now, in 2024, in February of 2024, a lawsuit came forward by the California Land Stewardship Council, LLC. And keep in mind that this, California Land Stewardship Council, LLC, was created days before the lawsuit was filed. Now, there's rumors, that Red Emerson or some group comprised of Red Emerson and others are behind it. I don't know. I can't prove that, nor do I necessarily care. But what I do know is that LLC was formed a couple days before the lawsuit was actually filed. Now, in Judge Baker's ruling, you know, he provides no legal authority why the Board of Supervisors has to communicate with anyone. And the reason why is we don't. Like, all the authority on contracting on behalf of Shasta County is vested within the board. I mean, that's what we're elected for. The only reason appointed or elected staff of the county have signing authority at all is because the Board of Supervisors delegates its signing authority in those instances. You'll see oftentimes, especially on the consent calendar, it'll say that we're waiving the board's, you know, we're delegating signing authority for something up to, you know, 4% of the contract total or whatever. You'll see the language all the time. And there's some things that I've pulled off a consent or in regular calendar items that I've said, hey, I'm not waiving my signing authority. I want to know every single penny that is going out, and I, as the chairman, will personally sign it. And I voted for when Supervisor Jones or Chair Jones was the chair. I voted to have him be the one to sign it because I wanted to make sure we were really abreast of every cent that went out under certain contract terms. You know, and that's, and of course, the more you work with your staff, the more you trust certain situations and, you know, or you distrust, just depends. But, you know, when it comes to, the ruling, we did not have to go get people's, say so. I mean, if you go back and watch that video recording of the meeting, county council at the time, Matt McCumber, had us waive the provisions of the contract manual. I mean, we did that and we voted to waive, but what's comical kind of is we didn't need to. I mean, it was kind of, it's another example of past county council either not knowing what they were doing or maybe out of their league or whatever, or maybe they were just, maybe he was just being extra cautious, but either you lean on the law or you don't. And this is what I mean by that. If the law is on our side and it's clear, we stand by that. But guess what? Sometimes decisions don't go your way. And I'll liken it to like baseball. You know, if you're in the batter's box and you got two strikes on you and the catcher sets up way outside and the pitcher throws it like a foot off the plate, you know, you're just like, yeah, that's a ball. And then you get rung up on strike three. You're like, well, I'm out and the call didn't go my way, but that was a freaking ball. That was a foot off the plate. We're not talking an inch or maybe half a ball length. We're talking it was a foot and a half outside. Maybe it hit the dirt and you're like, well, I'm out, but that wasn't a strike. And you can rest on that. You know, you're out, but you can still rest on that. Well, our county council knows the law, understands the law. Doesn't mean every single decision goes our way because you still have the judge's interpretation. And I believe in this instance, I mean, I don't know. I'm one vote, but I can say that I really hope we appeal the decision because there is legal zero authority that we are required to work with anybody in that way. And the thing is they all came up in public comment talking about it. And if you go back and watch it, like they all talk about whether they knew about it for a week, 2 weeks. I mean, when Sheriff Johnson was appointed and took over, you know, he was made aware that there's negotiations going on, but he was either kept in the dark intentionally or maybe negotiations purposely stalled because they had no intention ever of working together. You know, and I'm going to tell people, listen, if you're going to send me texts and you're going to want me to say stuff, you got to like, you know, I guess pull up your bootstraps and call in and make your point. But I will, this one's interesting. I can't verify this. I don't know if this is true, but I have a person here saying that the new Bethel building is almost done. And that's over there off in District 4, over off of 299. But it says, the Bethel building is almost done. The tribe still has a dirt lot. He said, this individual says, let that sink in for a minute, that the powers that be, that start these major projects at the same time, one is almost done and the other one's still a dirt lot. And, you know, so I don't know if they were announced at the same time. I don't know anything other than that. All right. We do have a caller. So someone did call in, Terry R. Terry, you there?
I'm here. Yeah, I just have a couple of quick questions. Since you have the jurisdiction to make the contract with the tribe, which you did, and everything you said to me at least makes sense, if it is federal law that the sheriff does have to protect them, whether they get paid or not, then I'm trying to figure out if you have all that jurisdiction, which apparently you do, how did this even get to court? Who sent this to Baker? How did Baker even get this thing? I thought it was a done deal. How did Baker even get it?
Yeah. So
who complained?
So the Shasta, or the California Land Stewardship Council LLC in 2024 filed a lawsuit against the county claiming that, you know, we didn't do this, we didn't do that. Well, people have to remember again, like the contracts manual doesn't apply to the Board of Supervisors. And again, I'm one supervisor, and I will say, like, I hope we appeal it. I don't even know why it can't get thrown out. But I will tell you, there's other counties a ton of counties that are paying attention to it because it sets a precedent that says, well, why even have a Board of Supervisors? Why don't we just have, you know, the auditor controller, the tax collector, the ROV, the superintendent of schools, like all the electeds, we'll just make up one big body and have to agree on everything before anything can move forward. I mean, that's just not true. That's not how it works. I mean, the whole state would come to a gridlock stop as it relates to local control and county governance if that ruling is upheld, because it's a horrible precedent. And like I said, I believe it's – I mean, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see, because I know –
Okay, so in closing,
yeah.
if Baker has done this, in closing, what he has done and created for the county is that we're going to get nothing for any kind of fire or police help. We're going to get nothing where we had a deal where they were going to give us something and they really never even had to. So,
yeah, well, I think this is what I'll say, and I don't have to be careful, but I want to make sure that, but what I will say is this, like, I know the tribe well enough now, Chairman Potter, Tracy Edwards, many of the council members. I don't believe for a minute that hypothetically, worst case scenario, if we had to redo the agreement, they're not going to just stick us. I mean, the tribe,
right,
Redding Rancheria, you know, what is their tagline on their commercials? Proud to do our part. They're not going to do that to us.
Right.
They're just not. But,
okay,
but you're right. And that's the thing, though. How many other philanthropic groups in our area would completely, I mean, we've seen it. Like, they will do, anyway, I don't even want to go into that. But, Terry, thanks for the call.
Sure.
I appreciate it. So we are going to talk about that in closed session. I'm going to tell you now, I know there's always legal strategy that when we're in closed session, you just don't come out and tell the world what we're doing. But this is one of the things that I think is really important. So I'm going to push to at least report out as much as humanly possible without giving away strategy or whatever. But I already kind of laid it all out here. And maybe, I mean, I think it's the responsible thing because I owe that to you, the taxpayer, about, you know, what we're doing, what's going on, and what the truth of this stuff is. And, I mean, just the fact of the law firm we hired to negotiate with the tribe all that time ago. Because, for me, you know, we got to take a break. David, you're awesome. I appreciate you weren't shooting up flares or banging on the window to let me know we're going to go to a break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the medical crisis that we're in, how we got here a little bit, the town hall, and then the alternative custody program. Because as we talk about the tribe and the negotiation, there are three really major – well, there's a few more than that, but there's three projects that I'm involved in right now that are heavy about negotiation. And I'm not going to let the past errors of boards or people at the county paint us into a corner like we were painted in with the tribe, because the alternative custody program, we have Doug Bond, the CEO, the head honcho, the main guy, you know, the big cheese. He's coming in to present on Tuesday, and we're negotiating hardcore with Sheriff Johnson and making sure this alternative custody program becomes a reality. We're going to get this deal done. So we're going to talk about that after the break. Again, if you want to call in, 530-605-4567. This is Kevin Cry, my show. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243 CT Redding.
experience the thrill of our $100,000 summer adventure. Swipe to win draw. Weekly drawings are from June through August, Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m., where you have a chance to win exciting prizes, including free slot play and cash rewards. Have a chance to win a brand new 2025 Ford Ranger in the final drawing. By participating, you could drive away in style. For complete details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
All right, we are back. David, thank you. That was like a save, right? That was like in hockey, like the puck hits off the side of the goal, and then you like kick save right before it goes in. So thank you for switching that. I don't even know what that other song. What was that, David? Was that like a hip-hop song? Was that Miley Cyrus? What were you listening to in there?
Oh, well, it got stuck on the last song we were playing.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well,
short break.
Thank you.
I shortened it.
Yeah, but hey, you do a great job. When I walk in the studio and see that you're my producer, I think, man, thank you, Carl. And not to say anything bad about anybody else, but you're my guy and I appreciate you. So, all right, we're going to jump in. We're going to talk a little bit about the medical crisis and the healthcare momentum we have here in the North State. And when I say healthcare momentum, I'm not saying this problem is fixed. It's actually far from fixed. We're uncovering and peeling stuff back to see, like, you know, what's real. And it's not about blame. It's just about, like, where we are today and where we go forward, too. So I'm very, very excited about this particular topic. Again, if you want to call in, 530-605-4567. I don't know, Dr. Danuka may call in. I told him, I said sometime after the break, I would be, discussing this. So Dr. Danuka, if you are listening live, feel free to call in. Or anybody else, if you have a question or you just want to share a story about something with healthcare. But, you know, our county government, like, we're taking bold action right now to tackle this healthcare crisis. And a healthcare crisis is exactly what we're in. I mean, Dr. Moo and HHSA are working on a transformative plan to strengthen care across our region. I mean, how can you not be for that? Some of, you know, the biggest detractors of Dr. Moo, and it's more because of what I would say is how people think he got the job, but he stepped up in a big way, and had a massive practice, 4,000 or 5,000, I believe, patients, and now he's serving people of Shasta County, and I'm very thankful for that. And so we're also working with Dr. Norm Hall of Simpson University, and then Dr. Danuka, who's, I'm going to say, a father and a husband first, and then a doctor second, and then a city councilman third, but he is a city councilman. And there's been a very all these individuals have been brought together, and it's a very dynamic coalition of doctors and educators from across Shasta County and the region and beyond to enhance residency programs and create a new school of medicine and health sciences right here in the North State. Now, that's a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal, but anything that's worth doing and doing well, you might as well go big. And, you know, this is an example where I think this is one of the most needed, most pressing things of our region. I care most about Shasta County, but if we're able to help other counties or other communities outside of Shasta County, great. But we're going to serve our people first. And, you know, and there's more good news. You know, SHARC, which is a coalition of area hospitals and community clinics and other community members, you know, they've officially voiced their support and their desire to collaborate on this transformative initiative. And we have to unite behind this movement and shape the future of healthcare, you know, together. There's no other way around it. Like, I have the letter right here from Shark. And if anybody, you know, wants a copy, please don't FOIA edit. I'll bring the copy. I'll wiggle the paper. See, there it is. I'll bring this piece of paper in. I'll make a few photocopies. Anybody that wants a copy can have it at the Board of Supervisors meeting this Tuesday. But this was written to the Board of Supervisors. The whole entire board received this, as well as Dr. Danuka. And it says, Dear Paul, Dr. Paul Danuka and Board of Supervisors. It says, the Shasta Health Assessment and Redesign Collaborative, SHARC, founded in 2009, is focused on improving care and health for Shasta County. SHARC steering committee members include the CEOs of all the federally qualified hospitals, as well as director-level representatives from the Medi-Cal Managed Care Plan, the County Health and Human Services Agency, and other healthcare partner and advocacy organizations. On June 13th, 2025, the steering committee received a presentation from Dr. Paul Danuka on the concept of developing a medical school in Shasta County. We have since learned that UC Davis is considering establishing a satellite campus of their medical school in either Chico or Redding. SHARC's steering committee members' involvement is essential for either of these projects to succeed in Shasta County. Well, I'll pause there and say, well, okay, but let's keep reading. As they represent the major organizations where clinical rotations would take place, as well as the existing and any new residency programs. The best next steps seem to be the establishment of a committee to continue. And it goes on and on. I'm going to let you read the rest of it. But, I mean, if you want to. But what I want to tell you is SHARC, and this is signed by Brandon Thornock, who's the SHARC chair, and he's also the CEO of Shasta Community Health Center. He came out very, very aggressively and negatively towards the initiative that I and Dr. Danuka started. And there was many others that said, no way, never going to happen. And again, I stand by what I said earlier. We got to work together. But at the same time, I just want to make sure people understand that, you know, if I have a barbecue going at my place and music's a little loud, and this is, for the people that know me, this is comical because I rarely have barbecues at my place or loud, I'd have zero loud music. But if you call the cops and try and get the party shut down and then you want to come and then host the party in my house, it's a little different. And I'm just saying, like, I am super glad that SHARC and Brandon Thornock have seen the light, that this is going to happen. And when I say this, I'm saying we are going to improve the health care of Shasta County. There's too many people. There's Dr. LaPica. There's people at UC Davis. There's UC Irvine. If you look on our board agenda coming up, we're giving $25,000, which is we're investing $25,000 of the opioid money to increase the residencies here in Shasta County. And I will tell you, Chris Street, our health care consultant that I believe has done a phenomenal job in the very short time he has worked on this to get us to where we are, he's going to present to the board on August 19th his findings, his recommendations of how we go forward. And, you know, so this letter that we get from SHARC, it's great, but this is like, you know, we're already going down this road. Like, Dr. Danuka, myself, CEO Rickert, HHSA Director Christy Coleman, Dr. Mu, as well as many other individuals have been talking about what next steps could look like. And again, I know more than most, but I will also say I'm waiting for the presentation on August 19th myself to see what some of the recommendations are, because there's a lot of people working on this in various capacities. Like, I had a meeting with Joe Campbell the other day of Hill Country Health and Wellness Center. Ask her about the meeting we just had, and she sits on the SHARC board, and some of the things that we're troubleshooting with beds and people who need treatment and care. We're making huge strides, and on August 19th, I think that's going to be the next launch pad. And I did say that we're on the 5-yard line. So here's what I'll tell you, I'm unapologetic about this. I said this at the beginning. You know, I am new to politics. I'm not new to deal making. I'm not new to relationships. I'm not new to wanting this community to move forward in the best way possible. So I said we're at the 5-yard line. You know what? Realistically, we're probably at the 20. And then we got a 10-yard holding penalty, let's say. And then so we're going back to the 30. So we're still moving forward. And I'd say we're back down around the 10-yard line. But when I said 5, like, I see the outcome. I see the light at the end of the tunnel of what this can be. I see the players and why certain things are the way it is. Like this medical healthcare crisis that Dr. Mu declared. Like you have all these boards and all these people that are well aware of the dire situation we're in as a community, and nobody rings the bell. Nobody says, "Hey, this is really bad, people." And so my town hall on medical care, it's not going to be. I've got some phenomenal speakers, some presentations lined up. It's going to be, I mean, people from outside the area, inside the area, and it's not just going to be a complain session of I can't get this doctor and this was my experience in the waiting room, but I'm hearing so many cases of people and, you know, if we don't have access to quality healthcare, you know, that's where humanity, I believe, really stops and starts. And that's, and this is a whole separate topic, but this is why, you know, the health fan and Kyle, just, I have such a tremendous respect, for, you know, his work, Dr. Patton, going out into the, homeless camps and tending to people that have open wounds, need stitches, Medicaid. I mean, it is phenomenal what that gentleman does. And you talk about the hands and feet of Jesus. There's a guy that, walks and talks that every single day. And I don't want to see people in our community suffer because we're constantly looking at how to make a greater buck. Or, I mean, again, this is a side topic, but if you've ever been a patient of MD Imaging, Mike Davis, one of the greatest men, I think, to walk the planet, was a CEO, co-founder, been there for years. Now it's corporate. He's still there. But, you know, go on Yelp and look at the difference of how he ran it versus how corporate runs it. And it's an eye opener, but that happens all across a ton of different verticals in medicine. And if we don't start collectively working towards this and putting a lot of public pressure on making the changes that are necessary, it's just going to keep getting worse. And the rich keep getting richer, and the haves keep having more, and the have-nots keep having less. I don't know. Some of you are going to say, man, that sounds like you're switching parties. Well, no, because I don't think this is about parties. I don't think this is about political affiliation. I think this is about taking care of fellow man. And at the same time, people having to be accountable. Like, you know, if you're able-bodied and can work, get a freaking job. Provide for your family. Get your own health care. But there's a lot of people that are struggling, and I think we're going to – I mean, I don't think. I know. I know we're going to invest the right amount of money, time, put the right people in the room because we're already doing it, and we're going to make a tremendous headway. And I just want to say thank you again to Shark and Brandon Thornock for now getting behind what I believe they see as inevitable, that we are going to do this. And I think people now want to get on board, which I think is great. Everybody can come around and work together and make this happen. Oh, we have a caller. I'm sorry. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I just wanted to make a real quick comment. I was waiting for Dr. DeNuca to call in and hear what he had to say. But, you know, when he was running for assembly, we backed him up here considerably, because one of the things that he mentioned was don't pay Sacramento, keep the money local, do not send taxes into Sacramento. And I've been standing again for that since I moved, well, even back when I was in Carmel and living in Monterey and seeing the destruction going on down there and how the corruption was invading down there, from a little mom-and-pop community to what it is now, corporate USA, and come up here and you know, I begin to see the ranchers and the dam and all that stuff.
Well, Steve, do you have a – go ahead.
We need to keep the money local. Do not send it to Sacramento. We had 23 counties. Why don't those other counties call into your shows? You know, Terry's show.
Well,
hey,
Steve, listen. I appreciate it. No. You're great. And this is Siskiyou, Steve, right? So
Yes, it is.
And you're one of my very loyal listeners in Siskiyou County. I appreciate you. And you're not wrong. And you talk about Carmel and other places like that. I mean, that's a much bigger issue when you talk about sending taxes and all of that. But as it relates to health care,
that's what I'm saying, exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and we're going.
If we did not pay Sacramento, we kept the money local and took care of ourselves as we should. The cities control the counties. The counties control the state. Yeah. That's how it was set up originally. Okay, that's all.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. No, and Steve, you're, I appreciate you. You're a very passionate listener, and that's a whole nother, you know, 100 shows on our money, what we invest, what we spend, what we get back. You know, we do get a ton of money, from the state. And, as it relates to healthcare, there's a lot of things that we can tweak and change and, shift the paradigm. And really a lot of it just comes down to like public, knowledge and responsibility, of things that are within our grasp and are within our, ability to change. And we're going to do that. And we are doing that. So going to move on from that. Again, as it relates to the Board of Supervisors, we are giving $25,000 over towards the residency program. That's coming out of our opioid money. And when you look at the return on that is massive, massive with what we're going to get just for $25,000. And that's, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, there's a lot of great programs, a lot of great organizations out there that all say, hey, we need this, we need that. Can you give us this? It's like, that's great, but it would be a Band-Aid. Like, I'm looking, this is, and I'm one vote. Every supervisor can bring something forward. And it's no secret that, like, if you want something on the agenda, I'll put it on the agenda. Like, I if Supervisors Long, Plummer have a great idea, Corky Harmon has a great idea, Supervisor Kelstrom has a great idea, hey, bring it up, let's vote on it. Like, that's great. But when it comes to, this healthcare, initiative crisis that we're combating this Tuesday, we're voting on something that's going to really, I believe, be one of the catalysts to really get this moving forward. Okay, next topic, the alternative custody program. Supervisor Plummer reached out to Amity Foundation, which I've said it multiple times. Great job, Supervisor Plummer. And he asked the sheriff to accompany him. Sheriff immediately called me and said he wanted me down there with him. So I went, and Supervisor Plummer and Johnson, and we toured it, met with Doug Bond. Well, Doug Bond and I now have really kind of hit it off because he's got a phenomenal story. You're going to hear it. I will say his presentation that I'm sponsoring on Tuesday is slated for 10 minutes. I think it'll take a little bit longer than that just because there's going to be questions. And this is really a community introduction to who he is, what Amity Foundation is, and how a partnership with the city of Reading, with the land and the county and the sheriff, how we're going to make substantial change to the criminal justice and rehabilitation of our inmates here in the county. And I believe it could be a model for the state. So here's what I'm going to ask all of you. Doug's coming in. He's flying in, into SAC, going to drive up. I'm taking him out sightseeing on Monday. And, I would like to hear from you. You can call in. And so, like, right now, what I'm thinking, because we're going to have 2 or 3 hours, maybe a little bit more, but I'm going to take him to a few, I'm going to give him basically a walk of how, I learned about the people in our community that really needed help, that needed a hand up, not a hand out, and where we fell short, in terms of rehabilitation, job skills. I'm a very big proponent of the Other Side Academy. That's not something right now that the county can enter into because there's a massive faith-based component of that, and it creates a lot of problems as it relates to state and federal funding. So that kind of got sidelined for me, and plus, of course, the failed recall slowed a lot of my momentum down, but I started that back up. So we're going to walk through some homeless camps, but then I'm also going to take them to I'm going to take them to the Sundial Bridge. I want to take them to the dam, see the three Shastas. And, so I'd like to hear from some of you, like, what are some other things that we could pack into 2.5 to 3 hours? Because right now, they're in Phoenix, they're in San Diego. I think they're in, Tucson, I don't know. They're in a city in, they're in a city in Arizona. I think it's Phoenix, but it could be Tucson. I don't know. And then they're in, the Long Beach area, and then they're in San Diego. And I want to see them in Shasta County. And they're looking at a lot of different places. And, I'm pushing really hard to get this deal closed, to get a shovel in the ground, and because this is a game changer for our county. And I want to hear from all of you. What's your opinion of, like, if somebody's going to pick an area, if we're wining and dining somebody to say this is the community you want to put another flag in, this is where you want to stake another claim of your program, and this is why Shasta County is the right decision. Let me know. Let me know where you think. I mean, I'd love to take them to areas of maybe Fall River or Bernie or cattle ranches out in Millville or places in Cottonwood or Shingletown. But, you know, we have a very limited amount of time, and I'm sure he'll be back many times. But this is his first venture into Shasta County, and I'm gonna white glove this, and we're gonna show him why this is the place. This is the place he needs to put his next one. And we're aligning everything. It looks like the city of Reading and the city council and the board of supervisors are gonna come to an agreement. It's been arduous. I believe it's taken much, much longer than it should have, but I believe we're gonna be hearing this week in closed session about the final crossing T's, dotting I's. We'll get that deal signed. We'll get that EIR done, and then we'll start working. And I've already been working on, and many of you already know that I've already been working with Padilla's office a little bit, and then Schiff's office is going to be coming up here soon after this meeting on Tuesday. And I'll tell you, it's when I say it's hard, it's not hard for me to go to work with anybody when it comes to the betterment of Shasta County or my family. But there is big ideological divides with Padilla, myself, Schiff, et cetera. But I will talk to anybody and do anything that's, you know, legal, moral, ethical, spiritually okay to make this community better. And I think this alternative custody program led by Sheriff Johnson and many electeds that are working on this is the key to what we need, because we're not getting a new jail unless we have a 1+ cent sales tax across the county. And we won't even, I'm not even going to go into the city of Reading's item right now with the tax, but I think the public needs to see a lot better stewardship of their money before I, as the chairman of the board, would even entertain thinking that we could pass a countywide 1 cent sales tax. So this opportunity right now at the alternative custody program, I think, is a once in a lifetime opportunity for the county to really turn some things around, free up some beds in the jail, get people out of the jail that don't necessarily need to be there, and we can rehab them and then integrate them back into society with job skills and the ability to turn their life around. And again, I'll say the people that need to be incarcerated that are just, you know, dirt bags to all high heaven that don't deserve to ever see the light of day again, I want to keep them there. And most of those type of people you'd think would be in prison, but quite honestly, we have a lot of them here in our jail because of the criminal justice system and the prison system in California. We have a low level, or not, I won't even say a low level, we have a prison here in Shasta County. It is not a drunk tank for the old, you know, drunk uncle who lost control of his drinking at a high school football game on a Friday night. That's not what our jail is anymore. That not even close. So, oh, we have a caller. Nick, are you there?
Hey, that old drunk uncle you're talking about, that was my father.
Okay. Thank you.
Actually, that's the truth. I just wanted to call and say that next week I'm going to have Tanessa Audette on Poke the Hornet's Nest, and we're going to dissect that 1 cent tax and how our money's been abused by the city of Reading.
Okay.
Thanks for
Thank you, Nick. All right. So, what I will say as I'm wrapping up this all, alternative custody program again, like I really want to hear from any district, 1 through 5, where you think, where I need to take Doug, because, you know, whether it's, a homeless encampment in District 1, and there's many in District 1, they're spread out, they're different than they were in 22 and in 23. But it's not about, I mean, I want him to see the amount of people that he can help, but also the natural beauty and the phenomenal business community we have here that I believe will rally around people that need a second, third, or even a fourth chance. And businesses will give them that if they're equipped to do the work. And that's what this alternative custody program is. There's a lot of job skill training, a lot of basically rewiring the brain of, you know, how to integrate back into society successfully and contribute and not just take. So that is going to be this week. Now, also, we have an elections issue on the agenda. Some people said, hey, like, why is that so far down? Well, we believe that's going to take one of the longest amounts of time. And I'll tell you, one of the things as chair is always balancing the schedules of the people that are here, trying to get them in and out. I did say a long time ago that if you're a business, you can wait all day or have to get a flight the next day because we're going to listen to the people first. And so you'll see public comment where it is. We got a couple presentations and, you know, if you have thoughts on just how we're doing public comment and what you think, like email me that stuff. Like this is, you know, I have, at a minimum, you know, a year and 4 or 5 months left on this term. And if I choose to run again or whatever, what's really important is that we keep getting a lot of this work done and done in a very positive way. I mean, when we get this healthcare crisis turned around and we get this alternative custody program with a shovel in the ground and we get all the other things that we're working on done, I mean, it is going to be a phenomenal 4 years. And we're going to do it because a lot of you are leaning in, a lot of you are helping, and a lot of you are putting – actually, I'm starting to even see – people putting their politics aside and saying, let's just get the work done. Let's just work together and make this community better. We're not going to agree on everything, but we got to get along. And I said that in 22, and I still believe that today. Shasta County, like, I love you. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the calls, the texts, the emails, and even the people that disagree with me. When you're polite and when you're courteous, and we can just, I hate to use the term agree to disagree, but when we just say, look, we're not going to agree on this, but we can be cordial. We can be, we can be collaborative still, and there's still gold there to mine. I appreciate you. And with that, don't forget tomorrow morning I'll do a Facebook Live, 7 a.m., and I would love to see you there on Facebook. That's Vote Kevin Cry. Shasta County, you have a great week, and talk to you in a couple weeks.
Working all day, overtime hours.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.